Well, Jesus created a lot of buzz and excitement everywhere he went. The scripture says that his fame spread throughout the region. Judea, Samaria, Galilee, all over the place. And people would come from far and wide to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, and if they were lucky, to touch Jesus and to be healed or blessed by him. So imagine you're on the Sea of Galilee, and there is this large hillside and a large crowd waiting to hear from this new teacher, this new rabbi named Jesus from Nazareth. The people around you, this is what I want you to do, just stop for a minute, put yourself on that hillside, all right? You got the breeze blowing through your hair. You can see the Sea of Galilee, hear the waves crashing on the shore. And Jesus ascends to the top and sits down, and he is about to deliver this speech, this sermon. And as you look around the crowd, who do you see? Who's next to you? Who's there with you? What kind of people are they? The poor? Who else? Common people? Farmers? Broken people? Curious people? Fishermen? Widows? Beggars? There might have been a few religious elite there, a few religious leaders curious as to what Jesus was saying, trying to maybe catch him in his words. But for the most part, they were common folk. They were the fishermen, the farmers, the widows, the beggars. Some have been barely surviving and under the crushing weight of the empire of Roman rule. Some have lost absolutely everything. Some carry wounds that haven't healed and won't go away. And Jesus looks at this crowd, the ones no one else notices, the ones who don't matter in the world's eyes, and he speaks these words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, no one would have expected him to say this, because these are not the people anyone would call blessed, right? Blessed are the rich, not the poor. Blessed are those who have no tears, not those who mourn. Blessed are the powerful, for sure. Blessed are those who have it all together. But blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who weep and mourn and cry. What Jesus says is unheard of. It is shocking to most. He is telling us that the kingdom of God belongs to the ones we least expect. The ones that society says are the throwaways, are the burdens of society. The ones that the religious leaders or the political leaders at the time would consider to be parasites on society. Those are the ones that are gathered around the feet of Jesus. And he delivers this message of blessing. And this is not just good advice or a list of virtues to strive for. Jesus isn't saying you need to become more poor in spirit, you need to mourn. Those things are true, but that's not what he's doing here. He is proclaiming a reality that the truly blessed ones are the ones we least expect. Jesus is revealing who was already included in God's kingdom. And at the same time, he is inviting us to see the world differently. Because if Jesus is telling the truth, then we've been getting things backwards. We elevate the successful, the rich, the happy. Those are the ones that we consider to have a blessed life. But Jesus says the kingdom of God is much different. And that gives us hope. If Jesus' kingdom is for the poor in spirit and those who mourn, then no one is too far gone. No one is too broken. The people this world rejects are the very people that God embraces. And so the kingdom of God does not belong to those who think they have it all together. It belongs to those who know that they don't have it all together. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's talk about kingdom for just a minute. Because there are a lot of ideas out there floating around about what the kingdom of God really is. And we really need to know, because Jesus talks about the kingdom more than anything else. But what is it? For many people, we assume the kingdom is something that happens after we die, a future paradise in heaven. For others, they think it's a personal experience, something inside of us, a private faith. For us, it is a political action, something that we take up arms for to defend, kind of like the Crusaders. A chest emblazoned across our chest and a sword in our hands. But Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world, but if it were, then they would fight. But since it's not, they don't. The kingdom is not just a future hope. It's not just an internal reality. It is God's rule and God's reign in the world here and now. Scott McKnight said it this way: the kingdom of God is anywhere where what God wants done is done. Jesus said a little more eloquently than that: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is not just the church, although the church is part of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is wherever God's rule and reign exist. And God's rule and reign is breaking into the world here and now. It's what happens when God is in charge. It is the restoration of all things. It is God setting what's wrong with the world right through redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. And Jesus is saying that that has already begun. The kingdom is not coming for the strong. The kingdom is not waiting for the ones who have their lives together. The kingdom is already here, and it belongs to the poor in spirit and those who mourn. Jesus is not inviting us to achieve something. He is announcing what is already true. The kingdom is not some far-off dream. It's breaking into our world here and now. Wherever justice is done, wherever mercy is shown, wherever love overcomes fear, the kingdom of God is at work. That's what Jesus means. And he says, blessed are those. So when you hear the word blessed, just let me ask you, what comes to mind? People have, even translators, Greek scholars, have struggled to translate this Greek word into English. You'll see it translated happy or blessed or glad. But when you hear the word blessed, what comes to mind? All right, favor. Whose favor? God's favor. So it has the connotation of divine favor. God is bestowing upon you his goodness, his grace, his glory. Anybody else? Compassion? Another gift that God blesses us with? I think that's true. The problem is, it's really hard to translate this word in its fullness into our language. Most people think it's a blessing is something maybe that you have to earn, a reward for faithfulness. Others think that it is happiness, a feeling of contentment or joy. But in Jesus's world, blessed meant something deeper. It did have the idea of divine favor, but it also meant flourishing. To be blessed is to be living in the reality of God's kingdom, the way life is meant to be lived. So Jesus is not trying to say, try to be poor in spirit so that you can be blessed or so that you can be happy. He's saying the ones who are already poor in spirit are the ones who are truly alive, who are truly flourishing as God intends them to flourish, even though it may not look like they are. It may look like that the world is trampling upon them, defeating them, pressing them down. But they're not. They're the ones who are capable of truly receiving the kingdom. Because the self-sufficient do not need it. And the self-righteous, they don't want it. But the ones that have and know they have nothing, they are ready to receive everything. And so probably the best way to translate it are, blessed are the flourishing because they are poor in spirit. Blessed are the flourishing because they mourn and they will be comforted. And he's saying the kingdom of God belongs to the empty-handed, not the tight-fisted, which brings us to the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, the word poor there that Jesus uses is incredibly interesting. There are two words in Greek that are translated poor in English. One of them is means to live from paycheck to paycheck, which in those days, you got your day's wages at the end of the day. You worked, you got paid, you went to the market, you bought bread, you fed your family, got up in the morning, and you started the whole thing over again. They lived day to day. They were poor. They may have a little bit set aside for a rainy day, but in essence, their day-to-day needs are being met by the money they're able to make on that day. Jesus calls them poor. The Bible calls them poor. That's not the word Jesus uses here. He uses a word that means completely destitute. They have absolutely nothing. They don't have enough for today's needs or for a rainy day because every day is raining for them. They have nothing to offer, nothing to bring. And Jesus says to be poor in spirit is to know that you have nothing when it comes before standing before the throne of God. You don't have what it takes. It means that you recognize your deep need for God. Now, Luke's version of this, Matthew focuses on the spiritual aspect of this. Luke focuses on the material aspect. Because he says, blessed are you who are poor. And then later, just a few verses later, he'll pronounce a woe on the rich. Not much of a campaign slogan. That's what Jesus was all about. So Matthew emphasizes spiritual poverty. Luke emphasizes material poverty. And they're not in conflict. Because the physically poor often understand something the rest of us forget. That life is fragile. That control was an illusion. They know that security cannot be bought. And Jesus is saying only those who know their need can receive the kingdom. The rich, the powerful, the self-reliant, they are too full to receive the kingdom of God or anything from God. But the poor in spirit, the poor that literally have no material goods, they know they have empty hands. And that is exactly what makes them ready to receive the kingdom. God's kingdom is not about proving yourself. It's about surrender. And in surrender, there is freedom. It knows that I am not too far gone. And that when I acknowledge my poverty and I open my hands, God fills them with His riches. The riches of His grace, mercy, and love. Why is that good news? Because many people think that they are too far gone, and what they don't realize is they're exactly where God wants them to be. How many of you have heard the name Mark Lowry? Mark Lowry. If you are familiar with the Gaither Homecoming series, Mark Lowry used to be part of the Gaither Quartet, and he is a singer. He wrote the song, Mary, Did You Know? You know that song? Okay, he's the author of that song. And he also did comedy. And one time he was talking about riding on the tour bus, and he was trying to get the bus driver to come in to one of his shows. And most of Mark's shows were done in churches. And the bus driver, I can't go in. And he finally asked him, why can't you go in? He said, oh, if I go in a church building, the roof's going to fall in on me. I am that wicked, that sinful. God would just take me out. And he says, well, I don't know what you've done or what you think you've done, but let me ask you this, Mark said. Have you ever lied, committed murder and adultery? No. Well, David did, and he was considered to be a man after God's own heart. So you're welcome. He knew he had nothing to offer to God, and he thought that made him unworthy, when in fact, he was just the one God was looking for. Jesus goes on, blessed are those who mourn, which seem upside down to us. No one thinks of mourning as a sign of a blessed life. Mourning means loss, it means sorrow, it means facing the reality that things are not the way they should be. But that's exactly why Jesus says these people are blessed. Blessed only those who mourn, who know the truth. Only those who mourn refuse to ignore the world's brokenness. Only those who mourn see the depth of their own sin and long for something better. Only those who mourn hunger for healing and comfort that only God can bring. And here's why this is good news. If you mourn, you will be comforted. God will heal your soul. The world tells us to avoid pain at all costs, doesn't it? And when we do experience pain, we do everything we can to distract ourselves, numb our pain, and just move on. Jesus tells us to feel the weight of what is broken. Because only when we long for the kingdom and notice our brokenness and the brokenness of the world can God step in and give us the comfort we need. God does not ignore suffering. He enters into it, and he promises comfort, healing, and restoration. So God's kingdom does not ignore suffering. It enters into it and promises restoration. What Jesus says probably shocks us, and maybe, let me say this, maybe it doesn't shock us. Maybe because we're too familiar with the Beatitudes. And what he says just doesn't sound that radical to our ear. Well, maybe we need to step back and really think about what Jesus is saying and also what the world is telling us. Because the world tells us blessing belongs to the strong. Jesus says it belongs to the weak. The world tells us that flourishing comes from power. Jesus says it comes from surrender. The world tells us to avoid pain at all costs. Jesus says mourning is the beginning of healing. The kingdom of God belongs to the ones who have nothing because they are the only ones who can receive it. So, we can stop pretending. Stop pretending that we have it all together. We can stop acting like we have something to offer to God. We can stop numbing the pain because Jesus is standing before us today, just as he stood before that crowd, and he is saying, blessed are you when you can't get life figured out. Blessed are you when you're struggling. Blessed are you when you feel unworthy. Because God steps in and transforms our poverty of spirit and our mourning into something beautiful. So recognize your need. Allow yourself to mourn. Receive the kingdom of God. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove you're worthy of it. You just have to receive it as a blessing. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you with nothing but our need. We bring our poverty of spirit, our mourning, and our longing for something more. And you meet us, not with judgment, but with blessing. Help us to trust that your kingdom belongs to us. Teach us to stop pretending, to stop numbing our pain, and to stop chasing the empty promises of the world. Make us the kind of people who hunger for you above all else. And Father, when we mourn, remind us that you are the God who wipes away every tear. When we feel empty, remind us that you are the God who fills us. And when we feel lost, remind us that we are already found in you. Let us go from here as people of the kingdom, confident, hopeful, and alive in your love. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and King. Amen. If you would, please stand as we prepare to sing. Go as those who know their need. Go as those who mourn with hope. Go as those who already know. belong to the kingdom. And may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit